This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Open for Business is powered by BossBolay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Good morning. Welcome to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. On the show today, I'm going to be speaking with Navin Kandapa, the country manager of Pickup Malaysia, a one-stop collaborative logistics provider right here in Malaysia, as well as Hong Kong, Singapore, and Taiwan. Now, the smart logistics provider is forging ahead in its efforts to transform the logistics landscape here in Malaysia through technology. And since its foray into Malaysia a few years ago, it has succeeded in blending machine learning and automation with dynamic scalability to boost supply chain efficiencies and optimize last mile deliveries. And we have Navin on the line with us today to give us more insights into how they did this and how they plan to more than just pick up the logistics game here in Malaysia. Navin, welcome to Open for Business.
Thank you, Audrey. Thank you for having us. It's really a pleasure to be on the show. If I can start by giving an introduction of our business.
Sure. I was going to ask for you to start with some background into the genesis of Pickup and how and why you guys chose to venture into the Malaysian market.
We are a technology platform, and we offer flexible and cost-optimized delivery solutions. So while our products are fairly along the lines of traditional logistics solutions, how we go about providing those solutions are much more tech-focused and automated and driven by software rather than the traditional manpower or like human-based decision making. I think where we try to focus is leveraging underutilized assets, using large amounts of data to optimize costs, finding operational efficiencies, whether it's in sorting processes or along route planning, to the end of basically achieving scalability so that we can serve our customers regardless of, are we in an 11-11 peak or are we in a Chinese New Year peak, making sure we maintain our service levels in the delivery solutions that we do provide throughout consistently.
Right. Now, when you guys started here in 2018, it was to focus on last mile delivery. Why last mile? And is this still the main focus today?
Yeah. So I think if I can give a bit of context on how our trajectory has been over the last 4 years, we did launch it in 2018. So prior to that, we'd actually launched in Hong Kong in 2016. We launched in Singapore in 2017. We came to Malaysia in early 2018. And when we first came here, we only had an on-demand product offering where we were doing a four-hour door-to-door service. And over the next few years, I think we've really expanded. We've leveraged on our technology and the kind of like automation and the algorithms we have to expand that to further up the logistics value chain, where we do we don't just do 4 hours, we do 2 hours, we do 1 hour, we do same day as well as next day through a network of 10 warehouses. So it's really a case of adapting to the local market, where all four countries don't follow the same cookie cutter approach. We look at what is needed in the market, because ultimately we're driven by like our backbone, right? And when we think about the technology that we do have in terms of batching, in terms of routes or route optimization, in terms of manpower management, warehouse management, these are all highly adaptable infrastructures that we have. Which can be catered to multiple products. And that's how we've kind of expanded our product offerings over the last 4 years. So we're coming up to 4 years in Malaysia now.
What's the main pain point in the logistics scene that Pickup hopes to address? The industry gaps that you're filling in as well.
I think if I could look at this from more of an aspirational angle, right, rather than from a pain point angle, if we look at markets like let's take examples like Amazon in the US, or let's look at the e-commerce market in China. Why is a same-day delivery possible for e-commerce? And we're not talking about same-day in the on-demand sense, right? Where the consumers pay for distance pricing. We're talking about through a thorough warehouse network, and things going from origin to main warehouse to multiple satellites to the end customer all within the same day. That is what we should be aspiring to, and that is what we have started to offer over the last 4 years. And I think that's, we need to be consumer driven in how we plan our trajectory over the next 2-3 years. And we need to keep up with these more developed markets where logistics is just inherently more competitive than it is in Malaysia. And I would say that's the priority, right? We need to be on par with the best. You know, we shouldn't be looking at what challenges do we have and how do we solve them, because I feel like our infrastructure and the automation that we have kind of solved most of those traditional challenges, which we can go into more detail. But I would look at it more like, where do we want to be rather than what are we trying to solve?
So who are your customers right now, Naveen? You know, what is the share of the pie for regular consumers versus businesses and SMEs?
So our customer base is actually quite interesting in the sense that a very big portion of our business comes from other logistics players. Mm. In the sense that, people who, for example, 3PLs who specialize in cross-border or perhaps have stronger nationwide coverage in rural areas, these are the kind of logistics players who would outsource the last mile to us in KL, in Penang, or in JB, in the cities where we operate. And this is a big part of our business. Mm. Another big part of our business is obviously the e-commerce giants. Obviously, with e-commerce trends being highly accelerated over the last couple of years, there's so much going on here, right? And we're not just talking about the larger marketplaces. We're also talking about individual businesses who have their own e-commerce, portals. And these are also the kind of clients who we would be catering to. And then when we go further down in terms of like size of business, right, then we get to the SMEs and the individuals. And this is where we see ourselves more as an enabler, where I think SMEs and individuals, or I guess the more C2C market, have always been, I would say, traditionally hindered by economies of scale, mm-hmm. right? Where if I had a home business and I wanted to ship, 10 parcels a day, my 10 parcels a day isn't going to get me a competitive price because I don't have the scale. Mm. What we are trying to do for this segment is to kind of aggregate demand, in the sense that if I have 10 parcels a day, but I have 1,000 neighbors around me who also have 10 parcels a day, why can't I provide economies of scale to that neighborhood rather than that individual? So we're trying to enable these SMEs, enable these individuals, these home businesses, people who are, finding ways to monetize their free time, and provide them the economies of scale which are traditionally only available to big businesses. So that kind of explains the spectrum of our consumer base, where we have our logistics customers who can sometimes be perceived as our competitors, but we have a very healthy collaboration with them. Obviously, we have e-commerce giants, we have the smaller e-commerce players, we have the SMEs and the individuals and consumers.
I'm just curious, Naveen, what's stopping the bigger players in the logistics scene, your competitors and your partners, from replicating your services, and eating into your share of the market? How have you guys future-proofed yourself or safeguarded your USP?
So I would start by explaining why what we offer is different, and I'll move on to explain why it is different or why we can do it. How our offerings are different is we kind of offer solutions throughout the whole spectrum of delivery services, right? If you the delivery part of logistics, you start from instant deliveries, 1 hour, then you go into 2 hours, you go into 4 hours. There are same day products, there are next day products, and then you have 3 to 5 days, you have cross border, and so on. What we do is we do everything from 1 hour to next day to standard deliveries. So that's where we're a little bit different, in the sense that there isn't really a player who does everything. Mm. And then if I can go on to explain why it is that we do everything, it really revolves around our technology, right? And the backbone that kind of determines our operational processes. So if I can give an example, let's take a next day product, for example. What happens with a next day delivery? What happens is, every day we will go and collect, a few thousand parcels from client A. We will bring it into our main warehouse. At our main warehouse, what happens is a rough sort determines which of those few thousand go into our 10 other warehouses. That transit happens. And when it goes into our 10 satellite warehouses, we then do a fine sort and we determine this goes to this cluster, this goes to this Taman or this section, that kind of thing. And then there's the route planning. And the route planning determines basically what is the most optimized route for the delivery agent to take. And then comes the manpower part, right? Which is allocating a delivery agent to actually go and fulfill that delivery. And why this is relevant to us being able to apply this to products which are completely different in the sense of like on-demand deliveries are the decision-making or the automations involved in this whole value chain of a delivery of a parcel are relevant to all these products in the sense that, you know, when we do the rough sort that I mentioned, that is not done by a human, right? That is our warehouse management software saying, we pass the address through an address recognition software and we find out the lat long and we determine that this lat long belongs to this satellite warehouse. So the rough sort is automated, done in, you know, half a second. When the fine sort happens, then it moves to the satellite warehouse. And when the fine sort happens, then we need to do the route planning. And then that also is, we look at a cluster of parcels, which obviously is clustered via software. Mm-hmm. And you know, this is the cluster of 50 parcels, which person A will be doing today. And this is the optimal route for you. And then that is also a software, it's not a human decision. When it comes to the manpower part, instead of having, you know, a fixed fleet of, you know, 1,000 people at our warehouses or 100 people at our warehouses, what we try to do is tap into latent capacity, right? Because demand is never the same through the year. You're going to have peaks, you're going to have troughs.
If
you have a fixed fleet, you're going to be either undersupplied during the peaks or you're going to be oversupplied during the troughs. So it's either failing on performance during peaks or like inefficient costs during the troughs. So what we try to do is leverage on latent supply, right? Where we are engaging and providing earning opportunities to people as and when we need them. And as and when those earning opportunities are fair to them, right? So they have the power of choice. So all of these optimizations along this route, all these automations rather, ultimately allow us to apply this to different products where, you know, the same route optimization technology can be applied to a four-hour product. The same leveraging on latent capacity can be applied to a one-hour product. It's really just a case of infrastructure where we're not building on a traditional logistics infrastructure where we are, using fixed fleets or fixed capacity, but instead we're using software which can scale up and down and be applied to multiple products at once. So that's where we're a little bit different in the market to answer your question. And that's why we're able to offer, you know, everything from 1 hour to a standard next day service.
Right. It's time for us to take a quick break for some messages. But when we come back, we discuss the Amazon Effect, Pickup's recent fundraise, as well as the future of last mile deliveries right here in Malaysia. All that and more happening on Open for Business with Pickup Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Open for Business will reopen in a few moments. Powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Become fabulous millionaires. BFM 89.9.
Open for Business is powered by BossBully.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
You are listening to Open for Business. This is Audrey Raj. Online with me today is Navin Kandapa, the country manager of Pickup Malaysia, a one-stop collaborative logistics provider in Malaysia, Hong Kong, Singapore, and Taiwan. Now, Navin, I want to talk about this Amazon effect and its impact on the logistics space. You know, this escalating demand for same-day delivery, 1 hour delivery, 4 hour delivery, or as soon as possible delivery that we saw kind of jump off the charts during the lockdown. I understand that caused a lot of angst for third-party logistic players. You know, did it have any effect on Pickup's services?
Yeah, I would say, you know, at the start of the first few MCOs, we definitely did see a huge spike in demand. E-commerce obviously did very well. As a result, logistics did very well. I think we also need to recognize that how fortunate logistics, people in the logistics industry are, in the sense that if we think about how many other industries out there that haven't been that fortunate, right? If we think about automotive or F&B or retail, these industries have, you know, through no fault of their own, have suffered a lot over the last 2 years. But via just very circumstantially, logistics has done well. And yes, we did see a very, very big increase in volume, especially at the start. I think things started to kind of calibrate themselves after a few months, and we're kind of smoothing out that curve now. I wouldn't say we were particularly challenged in a sense during that time. I think given some of the concepts that we've talked through earlier, you know, the fact that we rely mainly on software that, you know, whether we're dealing with 1 million orders or 2 million orders, it's the same amount of time. Mm. It's not, you know, 1 million orders being processed by 100 people versus, you know, 2 million orders being processed by 200 people. Like, where do we find that extra 100 people? So we weren't constrained in that sense per se. Mm. And I think in terms of the actual delivery portion, right, getting the last mile from satellite warehouse to consumer, being able to leverage on a very large latent base of, if I'm not mistaken, we have over 45,000 signed up delivery agents, being able to leverage on that latent supply and provide them with fair earning opportunities at a time when they may likely have lost their earning opportunities because of the MCO. That also allowed us to handle the more physical part of the journey adequately, I would say. So I wouldn't say we were too challenged, I think, but we do need to recognize how fortunate certain industries have been and the inverse for other industries.
Right. Now, you offer what can be considered as very competitive pricing for your deliveries. You know, what kind of margins are there to be made when you're offering a 4.50 ringgit or 6 ringgit flat rate for deliveries? And do you feel like you have the edge when it comes to costing? Can your logistic partners or competitors match your pricing?
Yeah, I guess, you know, being fundamentally a technology company, right, where our operations are basically, the foundation of our operations are automation and software. So we do have a slightly leaner team than what you would see in traditional logistics. A lot of the human decision-making, whether it's sorting, like, you know, a person deciding this parcel needs to go to Shalom, this person, like, we don't do that. We have software to do that. A lot of the manpower management is not human-based, it's software-based. So while we're a little bit leaner there, that kind of gives us the ability to be quite competitive on price. So we're quite comfortable with our pricing. Obviously, you know, pricing is a very competitive industry. Margins are quite thin, but we do find a lot of benefits to being more software-based and finding cost efficiencies there, basically.
Mm. Now, you've recently expanded into the Pearl of the Orient. What kind of ROI are you expecting from the regional hub in Penang?
So Penang is a really exciting market, right? Obviously, you know, any Malaysian would love Penang for, you know, things like food and culture. And it's an incredibly exciting market. I think in terms of business value, obviously, being the second or third largest city in Malaysia in terms of overall volume, there is huge business potential in Penang. While we do recognize that a lot of the giants or the, you know, the logistics giants or the e-commerce giants that we serve are primarily headquartered in KL, there is still a lot to tap into in Penang, right? But I think where we're taking a little bit of a shift is we're trying to address the SME market in Penang, right? More individuals, more small businesses, local businesses, and intra-city deliveries in Penang, which perhaps may not be as well served as they can be, or receiving you know, commercials as beneficial to them as they could. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to kind of be that enabler in the SME market in Penang. And obviously we'll take this approach and we'll apply it to the future cities that we expand to, you know, whether it's Ipoh, Malacca. But Penang is a hugely exciting market for us, and it's been very, very promising since, you know, in the 4 months since launch.
Now, Pickup Malaysia has seen a user-based growth of almost 200% since the pandemic. What kind of growth are you expecting with the Penang hub now in the mix?
So I think, you know, this year is going to be a very exciting year for us. This is really all about growth, right? I think our previous 3 years, while we have had very, very strong growth, we've been, you know, multiples of year on year. This year is really where we start to, you know, we've launched JB. We want to do 2 or 3 more cities this year. Okay, I think, Penang's contribution to overall user base is going to be significant, right? Even though it's not as big a city as KL from a population standpoint. I think in terms of the market that we're targeting there, where we're looking more at SMEs and individuals and empowering home businesses, and so on. We're looking more of the long tail of the business segment, right? Where we're looking at high numbers of smaller businesses. So we're really looking at, you know, 10-15x of our existing user base in Penang, which should be contributing to like a 4-5x in our total user base, obviously with KL being a much more mature market already.
Mm. Now, I also want to talk about your parent company, Pickup Limited's recent $37 million USD Series B funding. You know, it was Pickup's third fundraise, I think, in just over a year. What is it about what you do and how you do it that you think seems to inspire investor confidence?
Yeah, so that was very exciting. I think, you know, following the A and the A plus rounds very quickly, the Series B round was obviously led by Charlie Matheson, following the previous rounds led by, you know, PC Home and bigger names like Alibaba Entrepreneurs Fund. I think it's very good validation in what investors see and how we are doing things. You know, taking a very different approach to a very, you know, a centuries old industry, and we're taking it and doing it from a you know, much more modern approach, right? Where we're taking technology and automation and applying it to every step of the process. So I think it's good validation, and it's very, very exciting in terms of how we can leverage this for two things, right? One is obviously how do we double down on our technology? And when I say that, what I mean is, like, you know, what are the new products that we can develop? How do we optimize our existing products? How do we, obviously we're almost entirely, you know, software-based automated decisions rather than human-based decisions. But how do we further extend that, right? Like, what else can we move to software and leave the people to make strategic decisions? So there's a lot of exciting investments in technology, which we can do with this recent round. And then in terms of expansion, you know, we're talking about more countries, obviously within Malaysia, more cities, expanding our warehouse network. It's really quite an exciting time. And this year is going to be particularly exciting, I would say.
So this recent round, how will it help Pickup Malaysia specifically raise its game? What are you most looking forward to?
So I guess to tie it back to both of those points, right, about technology and about our network. When we think about technology, so our company is actually, we're very, very proud of our engineers. As an organization, we're very engineering heavy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, about 25 to 35% of our headcount is actually engineers. And when we think about how do we want to, you know, develop our products, or how do we want to optimize our software, like, these are very equally distributed between the countries that we operate in. So I think this is very relevant to Malaysia, and it is very exciting. And the other point is about expansion, right? Where obviously we have a presence in KL and JB and Penang. But we need to understand that, you know, Malaysia, we have 14 states. Each of these states has a major city. We have smaller cities within each state. There are so many places which we should be in. And we're not saying that we're going to go into all of them now. But what this enables us to do is to really prioritize and identify where do we want to really establish our presence and utilize you know, the technology that we do have to provide better solutions to in more and more cities. If we can empower local businesses in Penang, why can't we do the same in Ipoh, for example? And how soon can we do that? So it's very enabling in terms of our expansion efforts. And then if we look at within cities, expansion within cities ultimately means creating a very strong, dense warehouse network, right? Where if we have 10 within KL now, that has ultimately shortened, you know, the last mile of our deliveries quite significantly. But as volume goes up, there are further efficiencies to be found. And maybe, you know, if we double our volume, we can go from 10 to 15 warehouses, and we can further shorten the last mile. We can further, you know, have denser clusters and provide higher earnings for our delivery agents. So it's very exciting in terms of expansion, both in terms of other states and, you know, within cities.
Right. And Navin, just before I let you off the hook, do you think you could look into your crystal ball and tell us more about the future of last mile delivery here in Malaysia? What does this mean for businesses that want to expand, you know, their online services or their product footprint? What does the future look like?
Yeah, I think we're on a very good trajectory here, right? Where maybe not for the most optimal reason, but a lot of businesses have adopted e-commerce, right? A lot of businesses have gone digital. And it, while it is a strong trend, and it I guess we would expect to see it flatten off as you know things reopen and you know retail becomes more of an experiential factor. But I think the important thing is to let this be an option, right? And make sure that all of these, whether they're small businesses or medium-sized businesses or retail, they are empowered, right? They're enabled to make that choice if they want to, or if this is a good option for them. As an economy, I think we need to have that option ready for them, right? You can go digital, you can have an e-commerce platform if you decide that is best for your business. And I think we definitely do see that happening. There's also, you know, very constructive efforts from the government, you know, initiatives like Go E-commerce, which are facilitating this. So we do see quite a strong trajectory here.
All right. Naveen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. For our listeners tuning in right now who would like more information on pickup services, maybe you can give them the website to go check out.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's my.pickup, that's spelled PICKUPP.io.
All right. And if you missed out on any part of this show, you can go look for the podcast on our website, that's bfm.my. You can also find all our podcasts on the BFM app that's available on the Apple App Store and on Google Play. I've been speaking with Naveen Kandapur, the country manager of Pickup Malaysia. This is Audrey Raj for Enterprise, and you've been listening to Open for Business, BFM 89.9.
Are you open for business? Register your company with bossbelay.com, Malaysia's first online company secretary.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.